Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We have a big show for you tonight. First, we will start off with Matt Stevens, Kedrick Prince, and Brad Sturdy as we talk about the Illini and the NFL draft, what we think that means for the players and what it means for recruiting. Then we'll take a break and we will go into portal combat for both the men's basketball program and the women's basketball program there at University of Illinois. This should be a good show. Stick around.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We have a loaded show this evening. First up, we are going to talk with Matt Stevens, Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince about the Illini in the NFL draft. As a preview, tomorrow morning, we will have Mike Farrell will have an article talking a little bit about the draft effects on Illini recruiting. So that'll be good to look forward to. And we are going to be talking about, of course, the biggest headline probably was the fact that Johnny Newton, who many thought could go as early as, you know, the teens, ended up going in the second round. Matt, what happened there? And maybe if, did you get any reasoning as to why that happened?
Well, what happened there was the first 14 picks of the draft were offensive players, and Johnny Newton, since high school, doesn't play offense. He played running back in high school. He doesn't do that anymore. He plays interior defensive line. So that bumped everybody who plays defense down from where they were projected to go. I saw draft projections that had Cooper DeJean in the top 15. He didn't go in the first round either. Cooper DeJean's comparison to Johnny Newton also is they both had injury issues. Johnny had a broken, you know, foot that he was playing with in the last six games of the season, finally got that surgically taken care of, but he did not do anything athletically at the combine and really waited until a week before the draft to do his pro day. That didn't go over well. The problem I saw was that also, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think there was only one interior defensive lineman that went in the first round. So Johnny doesn't play a premier position in the National Football League anymore either. I argue that if you want to play Johnny Newton at a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme, you can do that. If you want to play him in what he's going to do in Washington, which is play defensive tackle in a 4-3 scheme under Dan Quinn, that's he can do that too. But I just think Johnny got pushed down by the nature of what the draft is, which is sometimes situational. If the first 14 picks of the draft are going to be offense, that left 18 picks for Johnny to get drafted. And some of those after 14 were also offensive players. I think it was 23 players, I think, offensive players went in the first round. If my math's correct, that means 9 defensive players went in the first round. That Johnny Newton was never going to be one of the 9 defensive players that were going to get drafted. Top 9 players, defense players, were ever going to get drafted. So I just think the nature of the draft pushed him down. And then I think you saw a lot of teams unwilling to trade into the first round to take a Johnny Newton and have that fifth year contract. Johnny Newton was a steal in the second round, and Washington knew it. And I think that they got a really, I think they got a top 20 player with where they picked Johnny Newton at in the top of the second round.
Brad, any thoughts on that? Because, you know, we were all watching it unfold.
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing for me is Johnny Newton didn't have – I mean, coming off the injury, I think it did hurt his stock a little bit. Not that – I mean, you watch him on film, you just never – you know, you never know. So they're always going to have that little trepidation. All it takes is one team to pass on you, and you start – well, why'd they pass?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all watched draft day, so we know exactly how it happens, right? So, I think it's a great fit for him, though, because – there are a couple of reasons why. One, I think Dan Quinn's fantastic defensive coach, and he's going to fit in with that system and the way their scheme and the way they run things. The other thing is he's 1 year sooner to get to free agency than the guys who went in the first round. Now he's making a little bit less money now, but he might have a chance to get that big contract just a year sooner if he performs the way I think all of us expect him to perform in the NFL.
Well, I have to agree with Matt. I think this was a traditional NFL draft. I think he probably would have won the first round. I mean, if my memory serves me correctly, they were talking about this was a record of the amount of offensive players that went into the first round. So I don't think it was anything to do with him as a player. I want to touch on what Brad said. The injury thing is that's really stupid to me because, I mean, I know he played hurt, but it wasn't like some major thing where it's like an ACL, which I think is a major, major surgery. But I guess if you're going to let a guy like that go into the second round because you're afraid of that, I mean, Washington got a steal. I mean, they really did. Not because we cover Illinois. I just think he's an outstanding football player. And it stinks from a financial standpoint for him. But he's going to have a chance to prove himself. And again, I mean, we know how good of a player he is and what he'll bring to the table. But I just think the way all these drafts, you know, whether it be basketball or NFL, they're really funny, and they'll find if there's any little reason that they can pass on you, they'll do it.
Go ahead,
Mike. I was going to say, Mike, as a fan of the Cowboys and the NFC East, you do know that the Washington professional football team, the one thing they do really, really well is play defensive line. They do a really good job of finding guys near the line of scrimmage on defense. Johnny Newton's entering a system in which they're loaded at defensive line. You know, Chico Rivera and didn't make the playoffs with the Washington Commanders or the football club or whatever the hell they call themselves because they were bad at defensive line. They actually traded away Montez Sweat to my Chicago Bears because they were so deep. And they know they can go in the draft and scout and get guys like a Johnny Newton. He'll run a three-man front. He'll run a four-man front. He does a whole bunch of wide splits with his guys. Johnny Newton's going to be able to play in the middle. He's going to be able to line outside at defensive end and stop the run in a 4-3 scheme. He's going to do a lot of different things. He can get vertically up the field as a defensive tackle. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they're going to ask him to do at Washington as a younger player, and I think he's going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, as a Cowboy fan, I was not happy to see him go to the, of all teams, you know, the Redskins. The other thing I thought was most interesting is I actually thought that foot injury might actually build him up because he had a really good back half of the season. The only game that I was a little mystified is, you know, at Kansas where he had a couple of guys in his grasp that had he been able to make the tackle would have changed that game quite a bit. Other than that, I thought he had a spectacular season. But as we know, I know nothing about football. I'm not a coach. But the next thing is I think most people were surprised that Isaiah Adams and Tip Riman were the next two to go in the third round. Was there anything going on with the Cardinals? Was it Charlie Bowen, you know, talking to his old team about how good Illini players were? But anyway, that was unexpected. Matt, any thoughts on that?
You know, you look at the NFL teams that would show up at Memorial Stadium last year, the Cardinals kind of did this in incognito mode because they didn't really show up to scout live in Champaign a lot. They really didn't. So, I was kind of surprised at the Cardinals thing, that they popped up and took two Illini in round three. I will tell you, I think Isaiah Adams is going to start at either left guard or right guard in Arizona on day one as a rookie. That's their plan for him. I think that's why he went in the third round. I don't think they thought he was going to be around early on Saturday when the fourth round started up for them. So I think they took Isaiah Adams. The Tip Ryman pick, I love Tip. I think that his story is so awesome. When he declared for the draft, this shows you how big of a bit of a moron I am. When he declared for the draft, I honestly thought, what are you doing? There's no way Tip Ryman's going to get drafted. No chance. And he went from a guy that was completely overlooked by me and by a lot of other people, because I wasn't the only one feeling that way. And I was looking down, getting texts that day going, is he sure he wants to do this? To a guy that was getting drafted on day two of the NFL draft. And that's awesome. And the way he did it was he showed during his pro day and during the scouting combine, everything that scouts want to see that he couldn't show on tape at Illinois. That's the fact of the matter, is that athletically he showed how gifted he was and how raw potential wise he was. And he better be raw potential wise, because I think he's going to be behind two really good tight ends at Arizona, one of which caught 80 plus balls last year at Arizona. And they don't run a lot of 12 personnel, so they usually only have one tight end on the field. So he's going to have to figure out a way to make this roster. But I'm going to stop betting off against Tip Ryman, because I've done it before when he was a walk-on and never thought he'd play at Illinois. And I've done it again when he went in the NFL draft and I thought, well, man, what are you doing? This kid just proves people wrong. And I think that he's going to make the 53, obviously, as a third-round pick. And as I'm talking about this, Tip's probably going to have a productive NFL career, because he's just coming under the radar again for guys in the NFL. And I think that that's just what his MO is that he just goes, gets to work. I remember the Brett Bielema quote when he asked Tip Ryman to be a mentor and a guy that would take recruits around the Smith Center and be that person while he was on the roster. And Tip didn't want to do it because he didn't think that he was the right person to like show off Illinois and be that rah-rah type of guy. Cause all he does is go home, eat dinner, like, and watch Netflix with his wife. Like, that's what I do. And Brett Bielema's response was, God, if all of us could just be like Tip Ryman more often than not. I don't think the NFL lifestyle is going to affect Tip Ryman. In fact, I know I'd be willing to bet that more than anything. And he'll probably prove a lot of people wrong. But on Isaiah Adams, I think he's going to start day one at guard, because that's where he should have been playing all year, his entire career at Illinois. And I think a lot of scouts got a little bit scared about Isaiah Adams when he went out to right tackle, because he had to, because they had no other option at right tackle after the Kansas game. And he got really demeritly graded at right tackle. Well, that's never where he's going to play. So I don't understand why that really affected his draft stock as much as it did.
Brad.
Yeah, I think Tip was a prime example of a guy who was a workout warrior. His workout showed that he has the athleticism, and they were like, wait, what is that? Wait a second. This guy can actually move and he can run and he's strong. And wow, I like him. I like him. I like him a lot. And so there we are. And then we have Tip Ryman going in the third round. Isaiah Adams, I completely agree with Matt. He's a third round selection because he's a guard. I mean, he played right tackle because somebody had to play right tackle. I mean, we could have put more guards out there. We could have said, you're the guard, but you're playing tackle. But that would not be effective. He's still a guard, and he just had to play there because they didn't have anybody else who could do it.
It's kind of like a power forward in basketball.
On the Illini roster, it is.
Can't follow that.
Yeah, no kidding. The Isaiah thing, it doesn't surprise me. I think he's a good athlete. I've always thought that. And I think when you look at the NFL, and I'm going to mention this when I talk about Tip, they see things. Baseball, general managers, basketball, they see things that typically we don't see. And then they also see things that fit their schemes. I remember Tip when he went into the draft, he wanted, you know, they asked if he was sure, you know, he knew how good he was. The thing that was scary that I heard, you know, I don't know if Matt and Brad, you've heard this, but Illinois didn't throw the ball to him very much. And that's why there wasn't a lot of tape. Matt's 100% right. But once you get an opportunity to showcase your skill, because obviously he's fast enough, that was probably the most impressive thing, watching him run And then what's sad, and this is not a knock on the University of Illinois, was why you didn't throw the ball to him more? Because this kid can run, he can move, and here he is being selected as the 82nd best prospect in the NFL draft. And, you know, the word is they throw the ball to him once a game, then he was done. So I think Arizona got a steal, and I think he's going to get a chance to play.
I got to be honest with you. That's the question that comes up. I mean, Illinois football under Brett Bielema is unleash the hounds and let them, you know, let the big dogs hunt. And Ryman didn't get many opportunities. And when you look at his measurables and you see some of the big plays he made you at least ask the question, why not more often? You know, not again, I'm not trying to kill the coaching staff, but it is what it is.
Two things, Cagley, quickly. One is that I think it's important to note that Isaiah Adams is the first Brett Bielema era recruit that has now gone in the NFL draft, which is actually early than what you would typically, because he was a junior college kid that left a year early. It's the first Brett Bielema Illini era kid that got drafted. And the second thing that I just want to point out for this podcast purpose and for the Peter Schragers of the NFL Network of the world, Tip Ryman does believe in birds. Like, I hate the fact that they on his draft day said something. Look, I was there at the combine. He tried to make a joke. Tip's not funny. Like, it failed miserably. But Tip Ryman does believe in birds. It would be hard to be drafted by the Cardinals if you don't believe in birds. Like, he made the joke of he's never seen a baby pigeon. Maybe pigeons are robots. Like, it's not a funny joke, and it landed poorly. It made Tip Ryman seem like he was a conspiracy theorist. He's the least possible conspiracy theorist you'll ever meet. He believes in birds. But no, Isaiah Adams, being the first Brett Bielema era draft pick, I know that he's harping on the development of the Lovey recruits in where they get drafted in the NFL draft. But Brett Bielema and Bart Miller went and found Isaiah Adams in Garden City Community College in Kansas, who came all the way there from Canada, and had two very productive years with the Illini, and added to Brett Bielema's lore of being able to produce offensive linemen in the NFL. And he's now starting to do it at Illinois. That is a Brett Bielema one where he can lay his stamp on it and nobody else had anything to do with it.
Yeah, I know, that's good. And we basically, breaking news, Matt breaks it. Tip believes in birds, so we don't have to worry about that. And Tip also proves that you got to leave the jokes to the funny guys. That's why Brad and I are so funny, and we don't expect Matt and Cad to break as many jokes as us, because we're just naturally funny. So exactly. So the next up, and I thought this was really interesting, and I'm going to tell you, Casey Washington, who has a heart the size of a lion and made some incredible plays to turn around, you know, potentially seasons, but he had a hard time sometimes getting separation. I was surprised to see him go in the sixth round, but I was really happy to see him go in the sixth round.
So Casey Washington's an interesting case. Again, he was a workout warrior. If you went to his pro day because he didn't get to go to the combine, I would see some of the numbers that he was recording, whether it was the 40, whether it was the broad jump, whether it was the vertical jump. And I would go, and I had the numbers, you know, against what guys did in the combine at wide receiver. And I went, oh my God, like, he's going to be in the top 10% in every one of these categories, every one of these track and field categories. Then you go back and you look at the tape. And when there was a big moment that needed to be had, Casey Washington usually had the football in his hands. Whether it was the catch against Toledo that allowed them to win that game, whether it was the catch at Maryland that allowed them to win that game, whether it was his last game ever at Memorial Stadium, where he tried everything he could to save the Illini from a disastrous performance against Northwestern, he was there doing that. So I think Casey Washington put enough on tape in big moments that I think, you know, being in the NFL and making catches in the NFL is not going to scare Casey Washington. The other thing I will say is that Casey Washington is a very, very good run blocker as a wide receiver. It's what George McDonald loved about him, 100%. So I think that Casey Washington's a really, really good pick here. The other interesting element is if you look at the Falcons depth chart, They came into the draft with no receivers on their roster over 6 feet tall. So I think that they went into this draft thinking they were going to go get receivers, bigger possession receivers, and Casey Washington fits that bill. You know, he's going to have guys like Rondell Moore on the outside that they draft, that they picked up in the offseason. You know, all of their receivers, they had three offseason pickups at wide receiver. All of them are under 6 feet tall, and all of them basically either play way outside or in the slot. Casey Washington's going to be that big, you know, receiver, and they also play, you know, a lot of 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, one tight end, and one running back. So I think Casey Washington's not only going to have a chance to make this 53-man roster, but have an impact as well.
Yeah, I think Casey Washington is very intriguing because I always thought he was, you know, until his combine, I thought he was just a guy who made tough catches and, you know, didn't have, you know, we'd question his separation. He can't get separation. He can't get over. But then, you know, but he always made, like you mentioned, he makes those big plays and he made tough catches. He's got good hands, makes contested catches, which I think is important in the NFL as well. But then you see him as pro day and he starts running. You're like, whoa, this guy's athletic too. Wait, why didn't he show that on film? Why didn't he show that on the tape? And maybe it's how he was used. I don't know. I can't say that. But yeah, it really impressed me, and that's why he got drafted. They're like, whoa, I got this tape of him making contested catches. I got him running this. This guy might be okay. So we got a chance here.
This sounds really bad. I think it's how he was used. And here's my understanding. I don't think he's a deep threat guy. I think he's a possession guy. And that's okay, you know, for Illinois, because they didn't have that, you know, splash in the pan guy with who could, you know, get separation. I think because he was so good at just making the, you know, the normal catches, basic catches, people thought that that's who he was. He's not Isaiah Williams. He doesn't have that kind of speed. But I like him because he's physical. You know, he reminds me of a Ron Turner type player, former Illinois coach and Bears coach. If the ball's in the air, Case is going to go get it. He is physical enough, and, you know, and you couldn't knock him off the ball. I just really, really like that. Personally, I'm happy for the kid. From all he's gone through, he was in Illinois, he left, came back, and, you know, I just think the fans are really going to miss him because if you go back, like Matt just mentioned, this guy made a lot of big plays to not only just win games, but to keep drives alive. Because they knew if you threw the ball to him, you're not just going to knock him over and the ball's going to fly up in the air. I just think this was a steal, you know, for Atlanta personally.
Yeah, that was good to see that for him. And now I'm gonna just throw a few things about undrafted free agents. Isaiah Williams is he is signed with the Lions. Keith Randolph Jr., the other half of the law firm with the Bears. Denzel Daxon shows incredible acumen and the ability to choose well when he went to the Cowboys. Tariq Barnes is going to go play for the Texans. And John Paddock, which was kind of cool to see this. Apparently Atlanta likes rookie quarterbacks who are older, so that's perfect. He's going to go down there with the Falcons. So we've seen some guys get playing around the league or get an opportunity to make teams around the league. Real quick thoughts on that as we wrap up the football segment here tonight.
What happened to Isaiah Williams stinks. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It stinks. He put 2 years of film together that shows him being able to make plays at the wide receiver position. I don't care that he ran a 4.6 40. I don't care because when I turn on the film, he was open and he made plays and he caught 80 balls in 2 years against Big Ten competition. He was the other all Big Ten wide receiver across from Marvin Harrison Jr. Those were the two wide receivers that were all Big Ten first team this year. And he didn't get drafted. And I think I said this on our boards at alumni.com. Detroit didn't take, they only had two picks beyond the fourth round. And they took an offensive guard and a defensive tackle, which, you know, shows like that shows up with their head coach's mentality that he's just going to take guys close to the line of scrimmage. Great, whatever. I believe that if they'd had a seventh round pick, they'd have taken Isaiah Williams based off of the contract and the guaranteed contract that they gave him as an undrafted free agent. I think it sucks, but I think that he can make the Detroit Lions 53-man roster. I have very, very little doubt in my mind about that. Quickly, I'll also point out Keith Randolph. I am a Bears fan. I am not thrilled with the depth that they have at defensive tackle in Matt Eberflus's 4-3 scheme. I think Keith Randolph can make this team as a backup defensive tackle in the Bears 4-3 scheme in his home state team and in Chicago. And I also think the John Paddock thing, quickly, I think that Atlanta needs – I mean, Michael Penix can't throw every ball in rookie training camp, so they need bodies to throw. I'll leave the Denzel Daxon analysis to Mike Cagley, who watches the Cowboys every Sunday. I'm happy for Tariq Barnes. He had a really, really disappointing 2023 because he wasn't completely healthy and he wasn't completely in sync with what the new scheme was when Ryan Walters left town. But I think I said this again on our boards. I think they see a lot of what Jake Hansen brought to town in Houston when he made the team as an undrafted free agent. Tariq Barnes took over for Jake at Illinois at that same middle linebacker spot. D'Amico Ryans is the perfect head coach for him because he likes under-recruited, under-talented, like undersized guys. Tariq Barnes may have a chance to make the practice squad at Houston. And if he makes the practice squad at Houston, I think you've got a chance to play on Sundays because you never know what's going to happen from an injury standpoint.
Brad, any thoughts on those signings?
I think sometimes you end up in a better spot when you don't get drafted, as it turns out. I mean, and I don't think it's necessary. I agree with Matt. It's not really fair to Isaiah Williams because I think he deserved to be drafted and hear his name called. But at the same time, he's in a good spot. He's got a guarantee, which not many guys who are undrafted get, good for him. Because I really think the kid can play in the NFL. He can be a slot guy. He can do some things. The other guy, I agree with everything Matt said. The one guy I thought, if you'd have gone back 2 years ago, not last year, not even two, I guess 3 years ago, I thought Keith Randolph was the guy. I thought he was better than Johnny Newton back in that time period because he was so disruptive, different things. And then, he had a good year in 2022. He didn't have a good year in 2023. I mean, he wasn't healthy, wasn't it? I really think Keith Randolph could actually play for the Chicago Bears this year. I really do. I think he can play. I think this might be the impetus to push him to maybe make sure he's completely healthy, make sure he's working as hard as he needs to and has the motor. He's next to the guy with the best motor in college football last year. Now he needs to just match that. And if he does, this guy's got a chance to have a career in the NFL.
I'm not going to go through all of them, but the one guy I really want to touch on, Isaiah Williams. The guy is one, he's a good locker room guy. You would think that a lot of scouts were like that, but, and he's talented. I think what hurt him, and I would love to be, I'll listen to you if I'm wrong. I think there was times where he dropped too many balls. There was times where he was really inconsistent. Matt mentioned the numbers and he was outstanding and he was doing it against some of the best defensive players in the country because you knew who was going to get the ball. It wasn't him. It was Casey Washington. And I don't know if his size hurt him as well. I hope he makes the roster where he can be seen on Sundays. Because if you get him out, in the open, he's good enough and quick enough to where he can stretch a defense. I do think, he'll be utilized in the NFL if he's given a chance. Illinois did showcase him. I can't say that they didn't do that with him because he was given every opportunity. But there were games, I remember a couple of years ago, when they played Iowa, he had a bad game. And I remember hearing scouts talk about his hands because let's be honest, he was a quarterback in high school and he transformed into a wide receiver. So I don't know if they had anything to do with it or his size, but talent-wise, it's definitely there. Like I said, he's a good locker room guy. The Paddock situation, I want to touch on him because I think, you may get another feel-good story from the University of Illinois. If he makes a roster, if he plays, because he was really, really he was inspiring for Illinois down the stretch, and we know how that all panned out. But overall, I think it was a good draft for the university. I think guys that are marketable. The one guy I'm happy for all the guys, but as a guy who covers all these players, I could tell by Mike's face and Matt's and Brad's. We're all Casey Washington fans. I mean, that's one guy I think we all really want to see succeed because, I remember watching this kid and I just thought, and when he was in high school, this was a 3-star kid who just had talent and just had a will to win. So that's my 2 cents on the draft, fellas.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, kid. We've got an opportunity now, more guys in the NFL. it gives Bielma a better opportunity to kind of toot the horn a little bit and see what you know you can do in terms of maybe flipping a guy or two and maybe influencing somebody in the transfer portal, because contrary to what a lot of fans think, coaching does matter, and getting good coaching and those little things do make a difference when you're trying to put together a total game for the NFL. Now, just so you guys know, you can follow Matt at Matthew C. Stevens on Twitter. And if you enjoy what you hear here on this podcast, you can subscribe to Illini Guys. And not only would you get Ked and Brad, their articles, but Matt's articles are up there as well. And you can go into the message boards and interact with Matt, Ked, Brad, myself, Larry directly. That's one of the neat things about our type of website is that we're actually involved with the subscribers, as opposed to just putting an article out there and then not having much interplay back and forth. Thanks for coming on, Matt. We will be right back after these messages, and we'll be going over some basketball. Stay tuned.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
If I was your mother and you had a drug problem, I'd grab you by the ear and make you call and get help. You can be in treatment tomorrow and start to get clean in 7 days. Follow Mom's advice and call the Detox and Treatment Helpline now. Write this number down.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
And we are back. As promised, we've got Ked and Brad here. We're talking a little bit about what's going on in Portal Combat, and both for the men, and we'll even touch on the women towards the end of this. But let's talk first about Ben Humrickhouse, who had visited the big 6'9 guy from Evansville, who has ball handling skills, passing skills, has a nice shot. Any status on him? We know that in Evansville, there was a lot of speculation that he wants to, you know, be a Fighting Illini. Any news on that front, or do we have any type of understanding of what's going on there?
Well, from my understanding, I mean, you know, I think we all saw the same story. The story that came out came from a local newspaper that Ben had spoke to his coaches. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, because I'm really careful about what sources I believe and what I see and if it's real or not. This came from a newspaper, and, you know, talking to people in my camp, he committed to Illinois. I mean, and I think what he did was he told his coaches, and his coaches put it out there, but nothing has been is official. And I know there's some work to be done, and, you know, there's talk about some academics and him and credits and things like that. I've not heard anything officially myself. I don't know if Brad has. He'll speak on that. But I do know the kid wants to be at Illinois. I know once he went in the portal, Illinois identified him early. The one thing I will tell fans, and they're probably going to think Kedrick, you're being a homer, but I'm going to tell you, this guy has what NBA scouts like. I'm not a fan of what we talked about football when Matt was on. I'm not a fan of what some of these coaches look for, but I'm going to tell you, this kid has NBA scouts looking at him because he's 6'9" and because of skill set. And you look at the NBA, and this is what he does. So if Illinois could get him, you know, you have the potential Iobin in the NBA. We know Terrence Shannon's going to be in the NBA. If they can get this kid to commit, he's probably going to get a serious look because of what he can do, you know, with the basketball. Put it on, you know, I know Luke Goody left, but, and this is not a slam against Luke, but he's a more versatile player, especially in pick and roll action, than what Luke could do, and he could do more things. You know, as far as not just pulling up shooting threes, he could put it on the floor. So I don't know where they are in the admissions office yet, but I know that's the holdup from my understanding.
Yeah, I think obviously we all know that. You know, I actually got a text from a coach in Evansville who said, yeah, here you got this kid. And I said, I haven't heard that yet. And then that was slightly before this article came out. So it's pretty clear that somehow this was his plan, and he told Illinois where he wanted to be. He's a kid who actually graduated from Huntington, so he's actually in a grad program at Evansville. So sometimes you're transferring grad program to grad program. Getting into grad programs is harder. You can have a great GPA. You may not get into grad programs. Now, at the end of the day, it's going to work out, because Brad Underwood will go scorch earth on the admissions office if it doesn't, because that'll happen, you know, when he flies back from Europe or whatever. So these are the kind of things that will get worked out. I remember there was another player one time was denied by admissions, and Brad was not happy. So, and he ended up getting it done. So, you know, he can be persuasive at times. So I think it'll get done. No, he's like Ked mentioned, he's just an elite shooter. I mean, you look at Evansville was so much better with him on the floor. He scored over 1,000 points at Huntington. He can shoot it, but he's also a really good ball handler too. So you can put him in a pick and roll as a ball screen. You can make him as the screener, and he can be the pick and pop guy. He can post up. You get a smaller guy on him. He's just such versatility. I mean, you see how they used Marcus Damask last year. They use him in a lot of similar type situations where you can play some booty ball with him if you get him a guard on him. But you get a big guy on him, you make that big guy come out and guard him. It's like, well, okay, good luck. You know, I mean, and he's got deep range too. He made 14 threes that were longer than 25 feet. So, yeah, he's a guy who would be a great addition. And they need players. I mean, let's not sugarcoat this. They got 9 guys right now. And we're hearing rumors of another guy who could portal or may not or whatever. I don't know what's going on, but it's hard to figure that one out. But and so they got 9 guys. They lose that guy, they'd have 8. I mean, you can't play with 8 guys. And so they're going to have to add guys in the portal. Portal closes May 1st, so we're going to see some more additions. They're going to have a visitor coming up and another visitor coming up in the next week or so. And we just kind of have to see how it all plays out. And there could be more guys I'm told they do have a guy who is going to enter the portal that they're going to be hot after if he enters the portal. So we'll see.
I was told the same thing.
You what?
I was told the same thing. The May 1st is this week. There's going to be a lot happening. You know, I know we're doing a podcast, and, you know, the three, you know, Matt does a good job with football, and Brad and I do basketball, but I'm going to tell you, this is a good week to be on the boards just because there's going to be a lot happening. There's going to be a lot of movement. You know, Coach Underwood said he knows math. He understands that there aren't a lot of players that's out there, but there is. And they didn't bring Orlando Antigua in to just be on the sideline because he's Orlando. He's going to help be a difference maker. And I can assure you, some of the players are in the NBA draft and things like that. That's all going to change here in the next few days. So it's going to be really interesting to see the movement, and there's going to be a lot of chatter, which is fun. I mean, this is probably the one part about college athletics. Not a fan of the transfer portal the way it's going, but I do like the excitement that comes behind it.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we have spottings of Coach Underwood supposedly in Europe. Somebody then has seen him in the Western suburbs. We also have, apparently, he was pumping gas with Elvis in Michigan. So who knows? Who knows where and what is going on? Exactly. Who knows what's going on? But I,
where in the world is Coach Underwood?
Brad Underwood. Yeah. And of course, then the rumor is Brad Sturdy is rapidly losing weight because they may need more players. So there we have it.
Got to start getting fit. I only had 6 years in college. Plus a master's. How does that work? Do I have eligibility left? I don't know.
Yeah, you have a COVID decade, Brad.
So even before COVID was a thing.
Exactly. Brad pioneered that.
If you played a different sport, does it count? How does that work?
Yeah, I'm not certain how that counts. Yeah, maybe the next thing you know, Navy will get David Robinson back to play, you know, rush in.
Quarterback. He played quarterback.
So
when he can see over the line.
Yeah. He can see into the state. Yeah, into the back of the stadium. The next thing is we keep hearing, you know, center. We know that Kentucky has a guy who is in the draft. Are there any movement on center? Do we know anything? Do we know even, let's say, what exactly the coaches might be looking for in the traits for somebody to play center for the Illini? Ked?
I know they want a rim protector. That is not a secret. But there was talk, everybody thought, because Orlando came from Kentucky, that Ugonna was going to follow him. But Mike, you and I talked previously. I haven't been able to find it. So this is a challenge to all the people out there listening to this podcast. Here's a brother that's supposed to be really good, who's a twin, who's really good. And there was talk about him being a possibility. So couldn't find it. It came from a very, very reliable source. It wasn't just somebody that just takes me who was out of the clear blue sky. So I don't know if it's true or not, but I do know they want a rim protector. Everybody wants that. You know, there's only so many that can go around. I don't think they're looking for a guy that's going to come in and be like Kofi and put up 25, 30 points, because the roster that they have put together right now, you know, it's pretty good. I know Trey White's a guy from Louisville. A lot of people kind of balked on it. I'm going to bring a name up that probably not going to resonate with a lot of fans, but Scott Clark's father, Kenny, called me this afternoon, and we had a really good conversation. And he just told me the Illinois fans need to be aware this kid's a player, and he can play 2, 3, 4. He's really gifted. He was just in a bad, bad program, and including his son. And he just said to me, well, the way Brad Underwood and the way his staff utilizes players, you know, especially the way they did last year, he thinks he's going to be extremely successful. So there's guys that they have and they're planning on getting. I think in the portal, if it works out well, if some of these guys pull the names out of the NBA draft, they're going to have guys that can score. But I don't think they're looking for a guy that's just going to come in and put up, you know, 20 and 10. They want somebody that's going to give them 8 points a game, maybe 10 rebounds, and, you know, guard the rim. I mean, last year, teams scored on Willard, Illinois.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's where you have to get you have to have a guy who can protect the rim. And I'm not trying to say that you you have to have a guy who plays 35 minutes protecting the rim, but you got to have a guy who can give you 20 minutes a game and can protect the rim, can rebound, can run the floor. Rim runners. Rim runners are great. Guys who can play in the dunker spot. And then, you know, affect things, offensive rebound, block shots, defensive rebound, outlet run, all those things. I mean, you just got to have a guy who does that. They did not have that this year. You know, they made Coleman Hawkins play the five. And although that was kind of a benefit on the offensive end at times, but it was a big detriment on the defensive end at times. And so, yeah, and, people say, well, Zach Edey and nobody guarded those guys. You're right. But it was more my issue was more the fact that guys like Julian Reese went off on Illinois, you know, and just scored at will. It wasn't just that. And it puts Coleman in a bad position because it wasn't fair to him to have to defend those guys because that's not his game.
Yep.
You know, I actually thought they'd be better off having Quincy Guerrier defending those guys inside because he's a little bit more physically stronger, you know, and thicker. So, but, you know, it is what it is. And I think, you know, that's all past. I think they do want to have a guy who can protect the rim. You got to – Onyenso is a really interesting guy because of his ability. He's talented. He's athletic. He's long. He's got a lot of potential. Obviously, Orlando Antigua has ties there. So if they're able to, you know, make that work somehow, and I think I'm hearing that they're going to be able to get a visit from him. Sounds like that there are other schools after him too, you know, from Xavier to, you know, others. It's not just Illinois. So a lot of schools will be after that kid. But if Illinois is able to get him, they obviously have a connection. They're able to get him. I think they could, he's going to be a really big help for them up front and provide that depth as you bring Merez Johnson along. You can't expect Merez Johnson to come in as a freshman and play like 30 minutes a game. We saw the number one player in the country, Xavier Booker, couldn't even get on the floor at Michigan State. too many times we think these high school kids are going to play these massive minutes, and the guys that can play massive minutes are few and far between.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a name out there because I'm wondering if maybe he's priced himself out of the market, but Big Cliff of Rutgers. You know, there's a guy who I've heard several people say, we'd love to have him, but Lord knows we don't want to pay the money he's asking for. And it seems like, you know, with UNC, with him visiting, you know, planning to visit there and Alabama, maybe nobody wants him for the price he's asking for. Could a guy like Cliff need to reevaluate what he's worth?
He's going to. He doesn't have a choice but to, because if he's been in the portal, he was one of the guys that went in early, and there's a reason for it. I mean, to be honest with you, he'd be another guy, I think personally, that would fit in well with Illinois. But, you know, for what these players are asking, and, you know, it's not feasible. I'm sorry. They're just not. And he is a good college basketball player, but he is not a Hunter Dickinson. He's not a Terrence Shannon Jr., and he's not an A.J. Store. You're not going to get that kind of money. And I mean, I'm sorry, but he's not going to. Would he be a service to a program, like I said, at Illinois? He sure would. And he would fit in well with them because he can guard and he's quick enough and he rebounds and he finishes well in traffic. So it will be a great get. But at some point in time, when this window closes on May 1st, the people who are being greedy and asking for money for Cliff and then themselves are going to have to reevaluate themselves, Mike, because that's not going to happen. And all these things you read on the internet, these people getting $1.8 million, that's not realistic. It's not happening. I'm sorry. There's a few guys that are close to the million mark, and I know they are, but not all of them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Big Cliff is a good example of, I think that he had, so what do we all like to say? One team will pull you into the portal, but then everybody wants you. I think it was St. John's that kind of pulled him in the portal. And it looks like, you know, he's got other options now because he didn't get the NIL he wanted. And here's the thing. Here's the reality with Cliff Omoruyi. He's not going to play in the NBA. Most likely not going to play in the NBA. It doesn't fit. So he needs to make his money while he can. You know? And this is a guy who, you know, we talked about Kofi getting $1 million a year in NIL money back in the day. Kofi was a first-team All-American who's 21 and 11. Cliff is not that guy. And he's good. I like him. He can be a really good player, but he ain't that guy. And so if he's not that guy, then he's not going to get $1 million. Now, North Carolina may promise him $1 million. And as we know, then they just pay whatever they feel like paying throughout the year. And then the guy will leave after year. Well, with a grad transfer, what's the downside, right? I mean, so yeah, I just don't see where it's going to fit. I just think when you start off with your, and they're all bidding wars to a certain extent. I mean, there's certain things that are going to happen. But when you start off with this stuff, it's just gotten kind of crazy, and I don't think it's going to fit. Now, here's the thing, though. Once you're in the portal, we've seen this. None of those things they sign are actually binding. It's not like a national letter of intent. It's just a grant and aid. So nothing is actually binding when they sign that. We saw this week. We saw a kid that, the Tanji kid who was at Colorado State, went to Missouri, committed to New Mexico the last Thursday, had his edit out there. I'm going to New Mexico. Whoops. And then today we find out he's going to Wisconsin because Greg Gard went in and got him. And he'd already signed with New Mexico. New Mexico had released it, right, and that he was coming. But there's nothing binding with that. So I think you're going to see a new thing. We're going to have a transfer portal next year with a binding signing day. I mean, I think we're moving to that point. We're going to have a legit signing day. They're going to have to find a way to figure this out, make this fit. I mean, obviously, this is not sustainable long-term, but for right now, it is what it is, and Illinois is trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, and Greg Gard, I guess we have sliding scale for morals, I guess. You know, we can take somebody who's committed to somebody else and blah, 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 you know. Didn't Nick Saban take a giant sword and stick it right in the heart of tampering and just kill it? Because basically he's like, we wanted to get this guy, you know, what's his name from Toledo, the cornerback who's so good. We wanted him to go into the portal, but he wouldn't. So basically Nick Saban who is, let's face it, the greatest college football coach in the history of mankind, just said that they did their best to get a guy to portal and he wouldn't. So if that isn't tampering, what is?
Depends on who you are, if you want to consider tampering. And he could get away with it.
I mean it's done, you know. I mean, there is no tampering anymore. So now we don't have to worry about
but
that.
But here's the thing. You try and get a guy to the portal. How do you get him? Well, you don't call the kid and say, hey, you need to portal. You have guys, they're talking to people or AAU coaches are calling and saying, hey, what do you think if this guy should he portal? He wants to get out of there, doesn't like, and they're making these calls for them. You got parents reaching out to intermediaries who are talking, and then they're saying, hey, what do you think about this? Would Illinois be interested in this kid? And it's not tampering. If it is, then every recruit is tampered with. Every player is tampered with.
That's my point exactly, Brad.
It's just stupid. But it's just, you know, hey, it got a lot of clicks for somebody, though.
Although you got to admit, at Saban's age, he might have just picked up the phone and talked to him. Figured
he doesn't give a damn, does he?
No, he really. I mean, seriously, what are you going to do to Nick Saban? I mean, come on, man. Outside of Superman and Kryptonite, I don't even know Saban has something. But you know, I mean, let's face it, with 7 national titles, there ain't much he's afraid of in the college football world and in the NCAA. That'd be like number one on his list of not to be afraid of. So now let's go to the area that many of us thought we'd really hope that maybe, you know, AJ Storr would be the answer to Illinois' wing problem. And I want to throw something out there right away. I don't care who it is. AJ Storr, doesn't matter who Illinois signs. Let me say something. They're not going to be Terrence Shannon. I think the pressure on whoever this kid is so unfair. Because basically, we all know Terrence Shannon was the second best player in college basketball when he was playing last year. Mm-hmm. I'll concede Zach Edey was the best. I'm not going to argue with that. But I don't know who in this country could come in and replace Terrence Shannon Jr. But Illinois needs a really good wing. Is there somebody that's out there that Illinois is able to go after right now that's in the portal? Or is this a let's cross our fingers and hope that the right person enters the portal or returns from the NBA draft?
Mike, I think Terrence Shannon's replacement is not the portal yet. Just kidding. But you know what? That's tough because, and I will say this, so I do think there's a couple of players that I'm hearing, you know, wind of that are going to pull out that Illinois has a good shot at. You know, I can't say names because I'm not Nick Saban, so I can't do that. So having said that, there are a couple of guys that I know that they're really interested in. And I mean, let's face it, I can see the fans who say that, because they need that alpha dog. And I've said that. They need a guy. Illinois has kind of always had a guy, you know, recently that can put on the floor. And Terrence Shannon was special. He was. And, you know, no one's ever going to replace him because – you can bring a guy in that can score 25 points a game, but that guy's not going to be able to run the floor, you know, in 1.2 seconds and dunk on people the way Terrence Shannon did. That person, whoever it's going to be, and I feel confident because they're going to bring other people in. I just know it. I'm sorry. I do believe in that, and I think that's going to happen. But the pressure on that person is going to be huge. But I also say this, and this is not a knock against the fellas that we covered. I'm sorry. If you look on paper and the games I won on paper, statistically, other than Coleman Hawkins, they've upgraded. They didn't have a point guard last year. Now you have a point guard who can score. You know, Ty Rogers isn't a point guard. He didn't play it last year. Quite frankly, Marcus Domas did. You know, so now you have a guy that can score, you know, because Ty brought the ball, you know, first couple times down the court, he brought up the floor, then he gave it to Marcus. So when I mentioned Coleman Hawkins, I'm talking Kerry Booth. I think he's a more athletic player than Coleman, but he doesn't shoot as well. He just doesn't to me, you know, but he's also a freshman. Coleman didn't shoot as great as a freshman either. So, but I do think athletic-wise, I think he's more athletic than Coleman. You know, I mentioned Trey, who's another gifted wing scorer. You're not going to find another booty ball warrior like Marcus Domas. That's not going to happen. But you're going to have a guy, if you can pull a guy like Ben, who can give you those same type numbers. So I think the roster could potentially be better, but not without Tam Shannon. You're not going to get that. You're just not.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Tam Shannon doesn't happen. I mean, you know, do we realize what a freak he was?
I don't think fans do.
They don't realize. I mean, Terrence Shannon was a freak in our level. And Marcus Semas was fantastic. I mean, to expect somebody to replicate those numbers is really probably not realistic. But like Ked mentioned, you can get guys who can come in and who can put up numbers. And then you might get more out of your point guard position. And maybe you get more out of a center position. Maybe you actually have a center position. I mean, so maybe you can get more out of certain things. And so in turn maybe you get more depth too. And I'm not trying to be mean here, but it was funny. I was talking to this is a segue here, but I was talking to Calamity McIntyre and they're bringing in guards, right? Illinois is bringing in guards and in the portal, but yet they have all their guards returning. So you would think that would be but here's the thing. They don't want to play Makaira Cook and Genesis Bryas 40 minutes a game because they can't be effective for 40 minutes. So you got to have other people. You know, could they play 30, 32 minutes? Sure. But that's a lot better. The other thing it allows you to do is you don't have to worry about them getting in as much foul trouble because you have other people who can actually go in there and play. And I think that you saw that when Makaira Cook was fresh in that NIT or WBIT title game. What happened in the second half? She had a little break there, got a little rest, comes out and just dominates. You're going to have fresh legs. And I think that is important. I don't care. We've heard Coach Underwood say, well, they're a great condition. But the reason he didn't play his bench because he didn't have confidence in his bench. It's just that simple. He thought the starters were that much better than the bench. We've seen him earlier in his career play more bench guys because he felt like he didn't have anybody good. You know, they were all bad. So he just played them all, right? But I think if they're all good now and all experienced, I think you're going to see more guys play. And I think that's where you're going to be. And it would be really nice to play a guy instead of having to play a guy. Terrence Shannon goes out for like 57 seconds before a timeout at one time. And Damas, same way. That's the only time they sit on the bench the whole game. Be nice to get those guys at 32 minutes. And if you got a guy playing 8 minutes or something, a young, fresh, incoming, just becoming a sophomore or incoming freshman, playing that 8-10 minutes or play when there's foul trouble, it can be a really good thing.
Yeah, I think that's a key, and those are some of the things that we think about. You know, is can you take the top three guys their minutes down? If you take the top three guys down by 5 minutes a game, you've created 15 minutes for other guys to play, and you've got some fresher legs over the course of the season. One final pivot here, and then we'll wrap this puppy up. But obviously, the women landed 5'9 guard Jasmine Brown Hagar. So that is, or Hagar, I'll have Ked give me the pronunciation. Being a Van Halen guy, I like to call her Hagar, but that may not be the way to go. And then Tenen Magasa, a 6'5" former Dayton player, will be coming as well. So that means I think they have two more potential people that the women can bring in, but they're getting another guard, as Brad said, to help spell the guards, and they're getting another big, not to put too much pressure on a freshman to come in and play well. Ked, just a thumbnail on each of these two players and maybe what you think they're still looking for in the portal.
Well, real quick with Jasmine, they recruited her really hard when they first got there. When she went to Mississippi State, there were some ties there with the former Illinois assistant, Corey Irvin, and that played a huge part in why she went to school there. When she got to Mississippi State, she didn't get a chance to play a lot. I've been talking to her sporadically. I mean, she's a girl that doesn't – she'll comment once every 6 hours, so I'm waiting to get to piece this all together. But Brad hit it right on the head. When I first found out that they were looking for the guards, because I talked to Calamity, and I'm like, why would somebody want to go to school there? Because Makaira Cook and Genesis play all the time. And she says, Ketter, that's the problem. You can't play them 35 minutes a game. And then on top of the fact, them being tired and fatigued, you know, Makaira got hurt beginning of the year. And it took her a long time to come back to form. You know, if you then if there was one game, I believe in the tournament, they got in foul trouble, and then you have to play her again. I think by bringing in a guy like that, a girl like that, excuse me, who when you put her in the game, you're not going to lose much because she has a lot of flamboyance to her game. She can, she's not a tall girl. She's listed at 5'9", but I don't think that's where she is. But she can shoot it a little bit, and she was a top 50 recruit coming out of high school. The Tenen Massinger girl, Tenen, I believe is how the correct how you pronounce it.
Tenen, okay.
She's a rim protector. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of offense from her. I just don't think that's part of her game, but she will rebound and block shots. There were so many teams that went at Illinois because there was nobody there. No disrespect to Camille Hobby and Kendall Bostic, but they're not shot blockers. Now, by having a girl like that, a woman like that in your program, gives you a different look, but also the unique thing was she played for Shauna and Dayton, so she knows the system. Now, to answer your question, they're looking for the, another guard and another big. They're not, I know Haven Smith is going to come in, the girl, you know, from the state of Illinois. You know, you just got Tina, but I'm going to tell you, they're looking for another big and another guard, and it's very likely that I think for sure they're going to get one for sure, but I know they want two more good players, but they're really good about, you know, not, you know, tipping their hat on who's on campus. But I'm going to tell you, they're bringing in some girls that can help them. Not just this year, because that whole roster is going to be gone next year. There ain't also some good high school recruits, but that doesn't mean that those kids are going to come to school there.
Yeah, I think Illinois is going to bring in a big girl who's, I was told she's 6'7", 6'6", or 6'7". And then I was told they have another guard that they're going to bring in too, comes from a major program. So that kind of gives you, you know, so they're recruiting with the big boys, and this is just it's definitely a change, right? I mean, Shauna has panache. I mean, she has her assistants do a great job, and they have connections, and she is like, she's kind of a, see, I would say like, is this bad? Like I would say like, you know, it's the, if it wasn't a women's game, I would say like, oh, they're like the sexy pick. Well, I don't want to say that because it's a women's game, but it is. I mean, it's like Illinois kind of become it's a destination because of Shauna Green, because of her coaching staff, and because they're winning, you know. And you know, it's like they haven't. It's funny, they were talking about their spring workouts. They're just kind of they give them spring workouts to go do right now, and they'll shoot with them and stuff, but they're just exhausted because the season ran. It was like they went to the Final Four with their season running into, because they had the long postseason. And then, of course, then the transfer portal going the whole time. It's just crazy. And so, yeah, I think it's really, they're a hot commodity. They can find kids. They've been able to grab kids, and kids that maybe were at high majors that didn't pan out, but they're talented, and they're doing a lot like, you know, a little bit like Brad Underwood is, and they're bringing in people who were at other schools who didn't like the fit, didn't have the right system, and they're going to put them in a position to succeed. But at the same time, they're also have the other side, is they're bringing in these high school recruits to kind of meld too, like Haven Smith, and mix them in. Haven Smith's going to be a really good player at Illinois. But she's very, you know, she's a big. It's hard for bigs to play as freshmen unless they're like just complete studs. You know, the girls that are at UConn or whatever. But even you look at the girls at South Carolina. They don't play right away either. Many times they go there and they don't play as freshmen. So, you know, that's because they're it's hard. You know, it's hard to do.
Well, Mike, I want to make another comment real quick. One of the things that Shauna and her staff do a really good job of. You know, I don't know how Brett and Brad do it, Brett Bielema and Brad Underwood, but Shauna is really transparent, and so is her staff. You know, because, you know, it's no secret that, I mean, I have a good relationship with the Divine Birds girl because her uncle's my best friend, and we talk daily. And I know this is a podcast, but I purposely did not tell them about the big girl committing today. And instantly, they call me and ask me why I didn't say anything. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Brad's right. You know, some of these kids don't want to go to these bigger programs because they're going to sit. As good as that girl is, she doesn't want to sit. And it's gotten out now that her and Destiny Jackson, a girl from Chicago, Whitney Young, it's not a package deal, but they want to play together because they're on the same AAU program, for example, sports. And you heard it here first with the Illini guys. Illinois has the best relationship with those two girls of any Division I basketball program in the country. And it's because Shauna is transparent. I'm telling you, the parents of both of these girls, they've heard it all. They've heard every little spill in the world, but you're going to get it from Illinois. They're just honest. And, you know, we've all talked about it. Matt covered them all year. It's a good place to play now. It's not as bad as it once was. And if there's a coach that, I hate to say this to a journalist, I'm rooting for, it's her, because she does it the right way. And if you ever, the fans get a chance to talk to her, it's like talking to the four of us, you know, who did this podcast. She's just a real good person.
She's a lot smarter than us, though.
Yeah. And you know what? Better looking. But anyway, having said that, I really, really think.
Speak for yourself, kid.
In the right direction. I got to be careful, man, about this mom thing. I've been getting a lot of heat from that. So I saw our message board. I'll end it with that.
Well, I tell you what if you want to understand the Illinois women's basketball program, go to Shauna's Twitter page, you know, at Shauna_Green. And she had one where you'll see the frosted doors, and she comes through the doors and she's all excited. I don't know what she's excited about, but she comes running through the doors and does this flying high five at a bunch of players. That's the enthusiasm that she brings to the table every single day. I have no idea what is going on in this. I'll have to ask her next time we have her on the show. But that's the type of thing that you watch that and you go, God, I kind of want it. I want to be a part of that. That's the enthusiasm. And in a day when at an era when so many players are being looked at kind of sideways by both the fans and the coaches because they get paid so much. And you see some of the fun going out of some of the men's programs because it's so deathly serious now. You know, in football, you know, some of these teams have a $17 to $20 million payroll. And if you don't go to the national title game, you might lose your job and you might get recruited over and all these other things. That there's a lot of times where these kids have lost the ability to have fun. And you watch this, Shauna looks like she's having fun. So she's either having a good time or she's a fantastic actress. Either way, it seems like it's a place that people want to be a part of. And I think if you watch that tweet, I'll forward it out at Mike Kegley on Twitter. But that's the epitome of this program right now. And I think she may have captured some magic and gotten a hold of it. So with that, folks, we are going to step away. Brad and Ked, thanks for coming on this evening. We really appreciate the update, both earlier on the football and also on the basketball. And again, folks, you follow us on Twitter, but the best way is to subscribe. You can get, obviously, on our IlliniGuys.com YouTube page, so you can see our smiling faces. For whatever that does you. And also, IlliniGuys.com, you go to our website, $99 a year. You get everything that you see us out and about, but you also get that message board, and that is worth its weight in gold, especially during the transfer portal, during recruiting, during big tournament weekends, and of course, during the regular season when there's all the news there as well. So we'd love to have you come on there and see us. With that, we'll be back in 1 minute to close the show.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcast, starting with our signature Eye on the Illini series, which discusses recent Illini events. Sturdy for 30 is where veteran Illini insider and analyst Brad Sturdy talks with experts and people in the know. And Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where IlliniGuys.com director of recruiting Kedrick Prince talks with players, parents, and coaches about the next wave of Illini student athletes. Stay in the know with Illini Guys podcast. Find them wherever you download your podcasts.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Thanks so much to listening to the show. Big thank you to Matt Stevens, Kedrick Prince, and Brad Sturdy for coming on and talking about the draft and recruiting and portal combat. That was a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed it. Please, $99 for an annual subscription. This would be the time of year that it's very, very fun to have that when it gets into portal combat. Of course, there's also high school recruiting that's going on. And of course, we will lead up to the football season and then the basketball season. It's just a wheel that never stops turning round and round. Thank you so much for listening to us. Until next time, go Illini.